Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this Tuesday night. Thank you so much for tuning into a doubleheader today, actually, because we also started our ultimate NFC East crossover with Chris Russell over at Locked On Washington. We'll see what the new podcast name is going to be with that team name changing very shortly. Marcus Mosher of Locked On Cowboys, Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants, and of course your favorite co-host, Gino Camilleri. Those four all discussed in a round table over four episodes. They previewed the NFC East with training camp, you know, right around the corner. It's officially 2 weeks away that the Eagles will report to the NovaCare Complex on July 28th. Of course, barring, you know, nothing else happens with COVID-19, hopefully everything stays steady. So Gino and all the other hosts from the Locked On NFC East part of the network, they all started previewing the teams and really digging into what the Eagles have to deal with here in this division. And they started with Washington on Tuesday, and you can find that podcast to see what Washington is going to be. I mean, the Eagles have really smacked them around since 2017. So are they a legitimate threat? Is Dwayne Haskins the real deal at quarterback? I mean, he looked like it against the Eagles last year, but outside of them, Haskins wasn't really good against anybody else. You know, Ronald Darby's there in the secondary now. They have a great front four, but what does Ron Rivera have to work with in that secondary on defense? So Gino, Chris, and all the guys and gals from the NFC East really combined heads and had some great discussions, and those will drop each day throughout the week. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. We were going to have those as the shows this week, and really that was it, to gear up for our training camp preview next week. But then two big stories dropped today pertaining to the Eagles that we have to talk about. I mean, two of them. One was a pretty big signing on the offensive line, and another one was off the field that had to do with, you know, we're talking about training camp. Hopefully it starts on time. You know, due to coronavirus, there are different restrictions. And speaking of restrictions for the 2020 regular season, if it does go down this fall, officially, according to city officials in Philadelphia, there are not going to be fans allowed at Lincoln Financial Field if the Eagles are playing in games this year, which is, although it was certainly expected, you know, and it's not just the Eagles, but it's the Phillies as well, the 76ers, the Flyers. Although it is, these are private events, the city and the state can block fans from attending these games and, you know, concerts and private venues and events like that. So the Eagles thought they were going to be exempt from this. They were not. And the Phillies were already expecting it. The Eagles now, it's going to be weird to not have fans at Lincoln Financial Field. And it's heartbreaking because I'll tell you what, you know, as someone that, of course, did not grow up in Philadelphia, only getting to go to Lincoln Financial Field, you know, every so often, it was a rare occasion. It was really a vacation, honestly, to get to go to the Link for me growing up. But Sundays at the Link, you know, especially for me when you didn't get to go every single week, it is a special, special experience. It's really magical, and there's not anything like it when you're an Eagles fan. Getting to go to the Link and to see the Eagles play is truly special, and it sucks that we're not going to have that this year, especially since, I mean, the Eagles are one of the best home teams in football. I mean, we talk about all the time, you know, we bitch and moan all the time about not wanting to go to Seattle, right, to play the Seahawks, because it feels like you can just never beat them there. Or even Lambeau last year, although the Eagles pulled out that game, there's just certain places in the NFL you just don't want to go there to play. You know, Foxborough is a big one, too, against the Patriots. Lincoln Financial Field has been that for opposing teams over the last, I would say, 20 years. I mean, it's always been an incredible home field advantage, even back to Veterans Stadium, too. I mean, players hated to go there. And the Philadelphia fans are some of the best in the world. So it's always been that, but especially lately, the Eagles are such a better team at home, especially on defense specifically. The defense at home compared to away is night and day. And a huge part of that, I think momentum's a real thing in sports, and I think the crowd has a huge part to play in that, especially for the defense, because for the defense, the crowd can get loud, right? When Carson Wentz is on the field, Eagles fans are smart enough to know not to say anything, to be quiet, to let the offense move, to be able to hear each other, to communicate. When it's the defense, that link, it is ramped up. And to not have that this year is going to be a big loss for sure. But at the same time, if this gets us to football in 2020 and it gets us to fans in the seats in 2021, then it's got to be this way. And for me, although it's not as easy to say, you know, or it is easier to say for me as somebody that has grown up watching the Eagles on TV anyway, you know, it sucks for the season ticket holders out there that, you know, don't go on vacations and they save up every penny for season tickets at the link. For those people that their lives revolve around the Birds from August to January, hopefully into February, I'm really heartbroken for you guys, but, you know, at the same time, I'm just glad football of some sort is likely to happen in 2020. So that's where we're at here. Again, city officials in Philadelphia say the Eagles are not going to be allowed to have fans at Lincoln Financial Field. Coming up next, I have some better news. So, you know, I normally like to get the bad news first out of the way. When someone says I got good news and bad news, I say, you know, spit me the bad news first. Some good news. An Eagles legend, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a player that to me is still damn good right now, has re-signed with the Eagles up front on the offensive line, but he's switching positions. The bodyguard is back, but the bodyguard is moving to guard, replacing Brandon Brooks. Jason Peters has re-signed with the Eagles on a one-year deal worth up to $6 million. I'll get into what that means for guys like Andre Dillard coming up next, Matt Pryor, Lane Johnson, Isaac Seumalo. It's a really good signing to me. I'm happy that this player, this captain, this heartbeat of the offensive line since 2009 is back in Midnight Green. It might not have been the signing that you were expecting when Brian Baldinger said, you know, a big signing was coming for the Eagles that was going to make them better. For me, I'm happy that this was the news, and I'll get into why. Coming up next, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, everybody, welcome back into Locked On Eagles, this Tuesday edition of the show. We are getting into now the Eagles re-signing Jason Peters to another one-year contract, a guy that's, you know, pushing 40, right? He's going to be 39 next season. But at the same time, this gives me a lot of peace of mind. I just feel more comfortable having JP back up front on the offensive line, especially considering he's making the move to right guard. So that's a really cool dynamic, by the way, just for me, because I think it's going to be awesome to see JP and Lane Johnson playing hand in hand, like actually having plays revolve around each other. Like they're going to be working together way more now. Those two were the anchors of this offensive line. I mean, the fact that you had those two as your tackles from 2013 to 2020 is incredible. Now to see those two playing right next to each other really is a cool dynamic, and I'm excited that the bodyguard is in fact moving to guard and replacing Brandon Brooks. You know, although I really liked Matt Pryor, I'm high on Andre Dillard, I wanted a veteran like him, JP, or a Larry Warford, one of those kind of proven veterans back there, just in case Dillard struggles or Matt Pryor struggles. Because outside of that, I mean, what do you have up front when it comes to depth? I mean, you have Jack Driscoll, a rookie fourth-round pick. You have Jordan Mailata. You have no idea what you have in him still. I mean, there's a ton of upside there. But, I mean, if Andre Dillard goes down, is are you going to be okay with Jordan Mailata as your left tackle? So, I mean, Pryor's versatile, Driscoll's versatile. They also drafted Prince Tagovailoa out of Auburn in the sixth round. I think that's a steal. I thought he was going to be a second-round pick if it wasn't for injuries. So they have a lot of good, promising young talent up front. But if there's injuries, you have nothing proven. Like, you have no idea what you're going to get from those guys. And if they struggle, I mean, that can wreck a season. So to have Jason Peters not only as your right guard right now, which I know he's never played that, and at 39 years old, like, that's quite the transition. But I love the move. I think he's still talented enough, and he is such a smart player. He's such a good veteran that he's going to make the transition, and I have every bit of confidence that he'll play at a high level at right guard. But not only that, like, to me, I feel better about Jason Peters there over Matt Pryor, but also, you know, I like that they're confident in Andre Dillard, but at the same, like, they didn't, you know, give up on Dillard here. They kind of went in the middle, right? We talked about, are they concerned about Dillard enough to not have him start in 2020? You know, or are they just going to go full forth with Dillard, not sign anybody else? They kind of went in the middle here. They're moving Jason Peters to right guard. They're going to let Dillard start at left tackle. But here is an awesome insurance policy in case Dillard really does struggle covering Carson Wentz's blind side. You can then move Peters back to left tackle, and you can have like a Matt Pryor play right guard. So I think this is the best of both worlds. I think this was the ideal move. And I'm super excited to see what Jason Peters can do at right guard. Again, this is a player that is still an extremely efficient player. He's still one of the best offensive linemen in football. According to Pro Football Focus last year, he had the fourth highest grade as a pass blocker. In December, from up until December 19th, I'm not sure where the PFF grades finished out, but at the end of the year, he was fifth in offensive tackle grades. He was 10th overall. So, and that's at 38 years old. It's incredible. For me, again, I know it's a position change, but I think he's smart enough to handle this. And at guard, there's going to be less explosive movements that Peters has to make. Like, he's not going to have to go up against these athletes. You know, of course, there's a lot of defensive tackles that are crazy athletic still, but he's not going to have to deal with the bend and the explosiveness, you know, of a Khalil Mack, right? Or, you know, even the young guys that aren't as good yet, but they run 4.3s. Like, let's look at, you know, speaking of Washington, we just did the crossover yesterday. Montez Sweat runs a 4.3. JP, he could handle that, and Peters was still playing at a high level at left tackle last year, but now he doesn't have to deal with as much explosive movement. I think that's actually going to help in his favor inside this year. And you also, I mean, you have to think about the off-the-field impact of Jason Peters, the kind of leader he is, the kind of developer of talent. I mean, we talk about how crucial a guy like Jeff Stoutland is for this offensive line. I mean, he, to me, he's the best offensive line coach in football. But he's also got a coach on the field, too, that's been able to bring guys along, like a Halipuli Vaivai-Tai. I think JP has been huge for somebody like Jordan Mailata and an Andre Dillard last year. Jason Peters has always been open to developing the young talent behind him. Again, I bring up this story every time I talk about Peters, but it's one of the coolest things I've seen at a live sporting event, like that I was at in person, was when he tore his Achilles in 2017, Monday Night Football against Washington. As he's getting carted off, like, he's teaching up Big V. I mean, that was huge, and we know how instrumental that was for the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, because if Vaitai was a liability up front, they probably don't win at all. Whereas Big V, yeah, he wasn't elite at left tackle in 2017, but Jason Peters was a huge reason that he played pretty solid football at left tackle. So, and again, the leader he is inside the locker room, that kind of presence is huge, especially over the last 2 years when you've lost a ton of leaders, right? You know, you've lost as good, you know, maybe not as good as he's been on the field. Nigel Bradham still was a big voice in that locker room the past couple of years. And, you know, Nigel Bradham is now gone at linebacker. Malcolm Jenkins, right? I mean, I think the heart and soul of your team over the last 6 years now is in New Orleans. I mean, you had lost Jason Peters at first. Even Nick Foles was a huge leader of this team. Chris Long. I mean, there's so many different veterans that are no longer with the football team. And that's a big loss. I mean, when you lose those kind of players, yeah, you still have Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox and Lane Johnson and Carson Wentz and, you know, a Jalen Mills will step up in that area. But to still have Peters in there, like, I can't say enough about how instrumental that will be if you are in a hole again, like you have been the last 2 years. Well, here, you know, 4-6, 5-7, to have a guy like Peters in the locker room, it's going to make things calmer and I think you can right the ship a whole lot better with number 71 on the football field. And what an incredible story this guy continues to have. I cannot wait for that Hall of Fame speech. This was an undrafted tight end coming out of Arkansas that signs with the Buffalo Bills. Then he gets traded to the Eagles in 2009, and for 11 years, he is one of the best, if not the best, left tackle in the NFL. He's one of the best of all time. Becomes elite for a decade with the Birds. And by the way, he did it for 8 years after two torn Achilles, which is why I'm still hopeful for Brandon Brooks coming back, because Peters did it, so I think Brooks can do it. Now he's almost 40, and he's moving positions. When he could have, by the way, I think he could have played tackle elsewhere. I think there were maybe offers that he could have took, but I think Peters really wants to end his career with the Eagles. And, you know, even, you know, before or after the season ended, you know, after that loss to Seattle in the wild card round, he talked about being open. Or, I'm sorry, it wasn't at the end of the year. That was when he was talking about when he was open to playing elsewhere to still start. But the summer of 2019, he said to prolong his career, he was open to moving inside. And here you go. That comes to fruition. And Jason Peters is your starting right guard in 2020. And I'm really excited about that. Louis DiBiase here on Locked On Eagles. We got one more break to hit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, we're wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, reacting to the news that Jason Peters is back in Philadelphia with the Eagles, but he's making the switch from left tackle to right guard. I know there was that tweet by Brian Baldinger a couple days ago that said the Eagles were about to make a move in the middle of July that was going to make them a much better football team. Now, a lot of people thought that might be Jadeveon Clowney. They thought maybe it's Everson Griffin, right, a pass rusher. Maybe it's Larry Warford, the former Saints starting right guard that's been a Pro Bowler, I think, what, the last three seasons, that somehow is available in July still. But the move is Jason Peters. I know a lot of people were disappointed on Twitter that that was the move. Personally, this was the move I wanted. Again, I'm comfortable with this because I think he's going to make the switch to right guard just fine. I think he's a huge leader for this team that they need. And he's an insurance policy to Andre Dillard if he's bad at left tackle. And maybe that's not, you know, as big of a signing as Jadeveon Clowney. I like this a whole lot more because the Eagles needed help up front on the offensive line, to me, way more than the defensive line. Again, this gives them insurance in two spots. If the offensive, you've seen, the Eagles can win football games with Deontay Burnett as one of your receivers, with Josh Perkins as one of your tight ends. If you have that elite offensive line in Carson Wentz, it will elevate everything else around you. If that struggles, if you lose a Brandon Brooks, if you lose a Lane Johnson, if you have holes up front, you've seen the last couple years what happens. And look at just in the rookie season of Carson Wentz in 2016. Look what happened when they had Lane Johnson on the field versus when they didn't. Look at, you know, years back when it was Demetrius Bell at left tackle versus Jason Peters or King Dunlop. It's not even close when you have those kind of holes. So to me, that was the signing they needed to make. And personally, yeah, I mean, I think maybe for the right price, I'd accept Clowney in Philadelphia. I still can't stand him. I think he's a dirty player. I'm still pissed off that he took out Wentz in that playoff game. To me, I think he's an overrated player. I think he's an overpriced player. And I just don't think they need him. You know, if they're going to go with a veteran defensive end, which I get, you know, outside of Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett, you have no idea still what you have in Jannard Avery or Sharif Miller or Joe Osman. I love what I saw from Josh Sweat last year, but still there's no guarantee he's going to turn into your next defensive end three that's reliable. But to me, I would have rather went Everson Griffin there. At the same time, though, I'm cool with seeing how those young guys develop because you also have three defensive tackles that are going to command snaps. Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave are always going to be on the field, and you're going to want Malik Jackson out there a lot too. He's going to play edge at times like he did in Jacksonville. So I don't think it's as desperate of a need at defensive end as it is offensive line. So if I had to choose between Peters coming back or Clowney coming to Philly or Everson Griffin, you know, I'll take this move instead. I don't want to say that just because they're trying to develop Avery and Miller and, you know, Sweat, that they shouldn't sign a veteran. I think you can do a Chris Long and Derek Barnett 2.0 kind of thing here and still see what you've got in those other players while having a reliable, productive player like a Clowney or a Griffin. But at the same time, again, with those defensive tackles in-house, I do think that there's going to be less snaps to evaluate those players, and there's just going to be less snaps for a player like a Clowney or a Griffin or maybe a Derek Barnett if you did sign Clowney. And I don't think it's just necessarily a huge need. It's very similar to why Chris Long retired, because when they signed Malik Jackson, there wasn't going to be as many snaps because you're going to have defensive tackles, if healthy, of course, that are going to be playing all three downs. And also, there's going to be less snaps at defensive end, but because of that, Brandon Graham's not going to be moving inside as much. So Brandon Graham's going to have more snaps on the edge. So to me, Jason Peters over Jadeveon Clowney, I know some people weren't happy with this being the news. I'm very happy about it. All right, Louis DiBiase, you're signing off. Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Make sure to subscribe on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. And make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're always talking birds after the show at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase, L-O-E. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go birds.